Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today, I am joined by Tyler Jones, who is the head of digital acquisition at SIB. And Tyler, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, man. What's up, Mason? It's been a long time. I've been seeing you on LinkedIn, so I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been following you since you first joined Refine Labs, and now it's been like, what, 2.5 years? And so Always nice to turn LinkedIn friends into not quite real life friends quite yet, but at least face to face. That said, I'm excited to dig in. You have outlined a really pretty clearly creative program that didn't require a crazy amount of spend and seems like it used a lot of your pretty standard technologies. So it sounds like something most people could launch today. So that said, could you give us a quick overview of what we'll be talking through today?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I was working for an HR tech company, and really, To put some context on this, they had always sort of sold traditionally, you know, trying to swim up market was kind of the theme. When I got there, they had just gotten their second round of, or just sold again to private equity. And so basically what they had decided to do is private equity firm came in and said, we're going account-based everything, right? So the ABX of it all. And then ultimately we decided, okay, we got to zero in on this audience. So we kind of verticalized with primary verticals. And what I'm going to be talking about today was really like our second quarter into it. So, you know, the budget's relatively low, but I'm really only talking like as far as the budget goes in context of 3 months, which, you know, we're spending like 10 to 12 grand a month. So yeah, that's it. I think we'll unpack from there.
I love it. So again, verticalized, specific, account-based, everything. So when we talk about the idea of focusing on verticals, I think a lot of people start there and then they think about, okay, what are all the verticals that I could serve? And then there's always the challenge of like, okay, great, but where do I start? And I have people come inbound sometimes and they're like, we want to do a vertical program and we'd like to start with 9 different verticals. I'm like, that sounds wild. So I'm curious for you guys, like, how did you determine the right vertical to go after?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. And I think you and I were talking before this, like even today, I'm working with a company that's so broad that like, how many industries do you serve? It's like 15, any of them, just go sell it. So basically it was similar at, I guess I'll just say the name. The company is called Quantum Workplace. They run up against like Lattice and Workday and all that. So we kind of go in and we break down the CRM and say, okay, you know, what do we think is our bread and butter today? How long are those sales cycles? You know, just kind of understanding what the metrics were within the sales funnel and closed one and profitability per account. So like, for example, we had some accounts in like a telecoms industry. They were really too expensive to maintain. Actually, when we closed, we had to keep hiring teams, more people on teams to support just the telecom unit. So like where you would think that's our bread and butter because they're the biggest contract sizes. Actually, it's not the most profitable thing for the company, but it's a great logo to have. So we went into like profitability and then like broke that down further by win rates and how successful we think we could be. And we actually looked for companies that, or for industries that had pretty high velocity compared to your typical like enterprise deal. Again, we're just off of a private equity round. We needed to, you know, kind of have padding, you know, within the stats and prove that we could really penetrate. So that's how we did it. Mm-hmm.
And I love the start of profitability. I talk about this all the time with ICP development and like, we talk about like marketing and sales getting on the same page, but like, we don't typically go talk to finance and say like, hey, finance team, who are our actual best fit potential customers? So again, I love the idea of like, let's actually look at what defines a best fit customer, not just for who's easy to reach and who's easy to close and has a high deal value, but like who's actually the best for the business from a profitability perspective.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, let's not beat our chests. Yeah, I have the same feeling. And the truth is, to anybody who's listening, my kid is going crazy out in the hallway and I had to lock my office door. So, what was amazing to me is until I reached a head of role, like even at Refine Labs, like when you're working as like in an agency, you're not going to go and talk to their CFO. You kind of have like a designated, this is what they say RICP is. But when once I got to the head of director level and I started to get pulled in with the CFO, was the first time I had I really started thinking about it that way. And up until then, I feel like so many people in our careers, you're kind of assigned, it's kind of like, here's what it is and run the program. So yeah, it was cool to be in that.
Heck yeah. So you guys actually did some deep dive analysis and then came out with, these are our best fit potential customers. Now I'm curious from there, once you identified that, like, how did you then go find the real audience that you would want to reach long term?
Yeah. So lucky enough for us, and if you're with a company that has the budget to go in and enrich your entire database with Zoom Info, like 300,000 contacts or 300,000 Zoom Info credits, that's one way that we did it. So it was more like internal than anything. And the truth about it is, and just talking in the 90-day context, I think it's really important when people think about this. If you're internally talking about running an ABM campaign or you're in your second quarter, the first thing that you want to do is stack wins. So do I want to go and penetrate ice cold primary accounts within the vertical? Like, sure. But do we have plenty of folks that we've had these conversations with before? Can BDRs go out or AEs go after the win back? And like, how do we create that, like, wrap our hands around an ecosystem where we were basically like, and so we figured that would help again with velocity, with our ability to reach and our ability to get people going. So
I could not agree more on the, like, when I talk to people about building their first ABM program, they're like, okay, we pulled this list that has no idea who we are. They don't say it that way, but they're like, we pulled a list from Zoom Info. Yeah. This is entirely net new. And it's like, well, why don't we start with people that have already been on our website, our closed loss opportunities, and we're past customers. They at least know that we exist. And there's a high likelihood that they actually come and win faster. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. I love the recognition that like ABM is an experiment. Stack the deck in your favor with people that already know that you exist.
Yeah. Well, and the last thing that you want to do is go to a board meeting where the PE firm told you you're going to be doing ABX and you have just dropped a dud for that quarter or you'll say something like, we've had a couple of conversations. We're kind of still in, stage two, an opportunity. And then the average sales cycle is 6 months. So you've got another quarter that you got to get your butt kicked by the board. So yeah, it was all about, and that's not to say, I should mention, Mason, and for the audience, we did split the budget a little bit. Like, we were going after some net new, and it's just the balance of it all. Like, again, I look at it just like retargeting. You've got the opportunity there. I'm not going to spend all of my money on retargeting, but the primary play was definitely that.
I love it. So that said, we now got a clear audience that we actually know is a true best fit audience. Like, how are we getting in front of these people?
Yeah. So I think we had a 12 person BDR team at our disposal, and we were able to, because we were testing the verticals, we did like have specialists within the BDR team that we gave documentation for, like verticalized talk tracks. Nice. I think so much about ABM is in the documentation, like so much about the success in your ABM program is in the documentation. Like, how do they know, what ads are in play? How are we talking to them up until, you kind of get that point? And with BDRs, how do you make sure that BDRs are segueing from the digital experience that you're delivering to where it feels connected and it makes a lot of sense? So we did that with the BDRs and kind of verticalized, and, generally speaking, I'd say most people say like air cover, but what we did was, because the budget was only about 12 grand, we had like our AEs that were experts in the verticals do landing page videos that were like 2 to 3 minutes. And so like certain accounts in the vertical, you know, by vertical go into those. We start with a thesis. Here's the problem. Here's the urgency. Why are we trying to drive it within the quarter? We're tapping them with those ads in pretty low cost channels. So like instead of going to LinkedIn and doing lead gen or whatever, like I'm a big fan of, you know, are we tapping them on YouTube and capping the frequency there? Are we going brand awareness on LinkedIn and trying to maximize from that standpoint? Because I don't need to convert somebody in an ABM program. If I go in trying to convert people off the bat, you've never seen a worse waste of money. You've never seen somebody waste money as fast as an ABMer trying to run lead gen on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of went with those low CPM, low delivery cost, but high impact. And then we took the database and we drove people who would have seen those ads, those 30-second clips, to landing pages with our experts that had 4 or 5 minute clips, deep dive explanation kind of things. We would do some lead gen with like basically assets there. Like, you know, we talked about it here, get the guide. They would download it, that kind of thing. BDR gets triggered in. Anyway, all the while, not to rant, but all the while we're kind of pushing the needle on that digitally, we have BDRs and every now and then AEs, if it was a closed loss, really try and come back in. So that was the plan of attack.
I just want to make sure that everybody hears this because it's a really well-orchestrated channel mix of using primarily brand reach programming with caps on ad frequency to ensure that everybody knows that you exist. And it's not focused on the conversion there. It's focused on the education piece so that then when the BD team or the AEs reach out, there's already a level of familiarity and context so that it's not a completely cult message. Mm-hmm. And like, that is how I think everybody should be running ad programming, generally speaking, in the context of like a truly coordinated sales and marketing effort. So I love that breakdown. And then I also love the using of the salesperson in the marketing materials. I think that's something that like, that's one of the reasons I love ABM so much is because if you name accounts on the front end and you do account selection, you can create a consistent face through the entire journey, which then creates a consistent narrative, a consistent experience, and like a level of familiarity that's not just a brand, but is also the brand plus the person. Now, obviously there's at times challenges that come with that when that person said that said person leaves. But again, overall, like I think the pros most certainly outweigh the cons in that context.
Yeah. I mean, think about it as the challenge in the documentation is like giving sales something that they're actually going to use. Like how many times have we created? I remember the first time I was working for a big company, they asked me to put together like a sales kickoff deck. And it was like 40 slides. And he was like, great, turn it into 4. And then he was like, great. Now, if you could take those 4 slides and give me like 2 paragraphs on a Word doc, then I think my sales team will use it. So like it's trying to like work with them in a way. Mm-hmm. I say that to say we have to work with sales in a way that is simple enough for like transfer of knowledge and, you know, the ability to put things into play. So we did talk with BDRs over the talk tracks, but generally speaking, the BDRs were like our right hook in the program. And, you know, think about it from a BDR perspective. And this is why they love us, right? Because I go in and I say, look, man, ABM for the company, we're going to make more money, but BDRs, you're my homies. I'm trying to make you more money. So here's what you need to follow if you want to make a bunch of money this quarter. This is what we're calling on. Nothing's worse than delivering. I had the call it luck, call it whatever, of working a call center back in the day and then BDRing where I got into marketing. So I know what it's like to make a phone call and it doesn't land. And they're like, dude, what are you even calling me about? Forget it. Yeah. So that's the last thing I want any of my BDRs to deal with when I'm running an ABM program.
Ugh. Yeah. And like, same here of like, I was a full funnel AE, source minimum pipeline, closed my own deals. And then also had to manage my own accounts and like that experience of 100 dials a day. Yeah. And then the recognition of like, oh, maybe if I like actually thought about the person that I was calling before I called them and maybe said something specific to them, this would work better. Mm-hmm. And it does. And like, so there's the, I want these people to actually like be successful, but also it's like from a company perspective, BDRs are a great acquisition channel when executed well, but they're also really expensive as a fixed cost. So like, how do we generate efficiencies for them to where they're getting more of those connects, they're getting more of the meetings. And that's what I love the breakdown of like BDR team. Let's not, I was working with another client and they had like this 40 page messaging doc that they had given to their sales team. It was like, it may have everything in there, but no one's read it. So like, how do you piecemeal it out into like, this is what you need right now? And mm-hmm. I love the breakdown of how do we work well with sales to actually give them enablement that they'll use.
Yeah. Hell yeah. It's a big one.
You also went ahead and talked through a lot of the content you guys were using just around like the dedicated landing pages and specific videos. Were there any other content mm-hmm. assets that we haven't already touched on?
So we were really wrapping. I would say generally know that we're created specifically for the campaign. I mean, I'm definitely a fan of take an audit of what you've got and see how you can leverage it. Like, I'm not going to say that we didn't, you know, we were trying to get people to fill out forms. Like, I'm not going to be a purist and say it was contact form or nothing, or like BDR call or nothing. Like, we were calling on, and that was just looking at, we had a great content team looking at some of the content that they had. Like, I have no problem somebody hitting a landing page and then going to a blog post that's interesting and the clicking a CTA there. Like, I'm not, and we might get deeper into this when we talk about measurement, but to me, the journey of it all doesn't really matter. Like, they don't have to hit my landing page and convert right there kind of thing. So we did use ebooks, white papers, and blog articles as ways to support what was happening. But a lot of them weren't like net new. If we're going to stand up the program, we need the ebook. Yeah.
I love the call out there because I do think a lot of people feel this like burden of like, I'm going to go build an ABM program. I got to go build all net new content. And like, I've talked with a couple of people that would even do quote unquote one-to-one white papers or one-to-one like guides that were like really detailed guides. But like, if you look at it from a vertical specific approach, you verticalize the content, which means you're probably changing up 20 to 30% of it. And then you go through and you add another 10% that's specific to that account. Like, even in the context of like one-to-one, that does not necessarily mean every single one was entirely built in full for that one account.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, maybe I should have clarified up front. I mean, this was one to few. Like, the number of accounts was not, I think it was like 100 accounts, but for each vertical. So like, when we had BDRs, they were calling the routine calls, they were also focusing on the vertical. So they weren't like just only doing that. Again, it was like a more of a test program, but 100%, yeah. Like, I back you. I think that like, if we can, I feel like in any program, even if you're doing one-to-one, you have to build an experience that can fit. I've seen some companies, and Mason, maybe you've seen it more than I have, some companies that have done like an, you know, you have the ad that says the name of the company. You have the landing page that says the name of the company.
Yeah.
I would rather have a very poignant message, not waste my time putting the name of the company in it, and have a very pointed BDR outreach. When we tell the BDRs, this is the format, we want to look at growth rate, all these points that we can tee up when we actually get the conversation. But I think still number one, have a very poignant message and put it on a timeline, you know, like what's great to talk about and why in Q2 do they need to already have your software done? Okay, let's start there. You know, that's kind of my vibe.
Yeah, and for starting point, I couldn't agree more. There are very few people that I have known in the ABM space other than like Isaac Weir over at User Gems that has figured out how to effectively operationalize massive one-to-one programs. He's launching... Yeah. His whole claim to fame is he's able to do 150 one-to-one programs on a monthly basis. And he's like just streamlined his process from an ad program perspective.
Yeah.
But like what he doesn't talk about as much is like took him like 6 to 9 months to build that process in the first place. And he's hired 2 VAs to help him out. So like, it's still super labor intensive. From my perspective, I agree with you fully of your ad programming could be one to few or one to many. And based on levels of engagement, you then get more one-to-one in the follow-ups from there. And the BD team is one of the most effective ways to actually do truly personalized outreach that you don't necessarily need a ton of operational foundations for outside of like, I need you to say this thing to this person. And like, here's some research. Like, that can be a Google Doc versus like, how do I operationalize this ad placement to this account when this specific person with, like, it's just, it gets really complicated really quickly on that front. So couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Yeah. My head's spinning already. Just you talking about it like that.
So last couple of questions for you would just be as far as like measurement of success. Like, how do we determine that this was a win?
Yeah. So yeah, this would be like a super interesting conversation. I need to listen to, this would be great, like panel discussion, you know, and I know that you, your content is like the resource where we, it can go and we can listen to it. But I feel like I simplify a lot more than most people. And I feel like it's because I actually didn't put the tech in front of the horse. When you put the tech in front of the horse and it's like, we got these stages and we follow this and this is the workflow, it gets really crazy. For me, I'm like rising, you know, rising tide lifts all ships kind of guy. So what we were looking at was just meetings within. Now, we had one quarter in already, and marketing is all about progress. So like, can I book 20-25% more meetings than I did last quarter within the vertical list? And then literally, like, it's just like a regular sales funnel. So here's the amount of prospects. Here's the amount of meetings that we scheduled. Here's the show rate. And we just kind of go down the funnel. Now, what I'm looking for are triggers or instances within those funnel conversion rates that might say we're not attacking the market properly enough to like push these through quickly. But at the end of the day, it was really, I didn't bother with like, well, this is how many folks went from aware to what's the next one? Consideration to booking
awareness, consideration, decision. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't remember like what, I'm pretty sure that's what the intent platforms still run off of, consideration and decision. But anyway, I didn't really bother with that. It was more about how they're engaging and like, what did we actually put on the books? Because I don't get bonused on how many people went from awareness to consideration. I get bonused on how many meetings went through and what the pipeline coverage was that quarter. So I really like to strip it down. So
I mean,
yeah.
When people ask me, what do you measure on? I always say account engagement, however you can measure that to date as a leading indicator. Typically marketing ideally is actually measured on pipeline sourced. And then the inevitable win for everybody as a team is close one revenue. Like those are the three things. Yeah. It's hard to beat that.
Yeah. Especially when you're like, when you're running in ahead of, or like a position where you're going to have to go up against the execs or the board. Like I had a conversation with the team a couple weeks ago. I was like, here are the metrics that I'm never going to talk about in a meeting ever. Okay. And there's a list of all the, you know, here's the social engagement, here's the click-through rate, blah, 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 all these things. And I'm like, here's the three things that I'm going to talk about. And it was pipeline, close one revenue, you know, like I only talk about these because when you get to a certain point, you know, like I said, my bonus has nothing to do with the click-through rate on my ads, absolutely nothing. So if I can, I don't need to prove as like a head of digital acquisition that I'm the best at ads. Okay. I need to prove that through this, we can get more meetings and I can grow 20% quarter over quarter on that. That's the goal. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Last two questions would just be, as you're building out this program, were there any unexpected roadblocks or challenges that kind of popped up through the implementation process?
So let's see. Yeah, I think unexpected roadblocks for me on the digital side, again, these are like named accounts, and we think that we have a really good idea at what's good for the company. How do you match the value proposition? Like so marketing being so one-sided, you know, understanding an audience means you understand what they need to hear in order to like drive the action and not just like say what the company value prop is and expect them to buy. I think that's where most people screw up. So like really getting to a point where we have a deep enough understanding of the audience was tough. There was a lot of gong calls that we listened to, like our SMEs, just like hours of sitting with them, writing back and forth. So I think the development part of like what's really going to move the audience was tough. I think secondly, what people have to think about, especially if you're going to try and run to a cold list, is like deliverability within your named accounts. So like people will go in and they'll say, okay, I have 1,000 accounts. I'm going to run it on LinkedIn. Well, guess what? Of the 1,000 accounts, how many people can you actually reach? You know, I was just in an industry before I was with the PE firm where it was like 20% inside of LinkedIn. The audience just really wasn't there, right? So I think you have to think about that deliverability within your named accounts and how you're going to do it. That's why I'm big on the awareness play, multi-channel, obviously. Yeah, I think that's really it. The other hurdle I think everybody has to go through is if you haven't done it before, Mason, maybe you're a pro at it now, but really sitting down with sales and being like, all right, how do we really work? How do we really work together? How do we really want to communicate? What is your team actually going to use? We already talked about that. So those kind of things I think will be tough if you're in a new org or if you haven't really done it a few times before.
Yeah. Of all the reasons, that is the number one data-backed reasons why ABM fails would just be the lack of sales marketing alignment. So again, we talk about that a lot, but I think I like how you just put it of sales, what are you going to actually use? Like I can go build the coolest stuff, but if nobody does anything with it, it's kind of a waste of time.
Dude, nobody, I've never met a marketer that will put together, nobody wants to put together content for no reason. Like nobody's like, hell yeah, let me write these eBooks. Let me write this sales deck, man. It's going to be like 40 pages, man. Nobody does that. So let's find a way that we can trim it down that's usable. And I just like to pose myself as a tool. And I think more than anything, marketing can be looked at as just a tool in a sales-led organization. But I really try and come in with the attitude of like, we're all here for the same reason. And I'm in particular, if you and I do really well here, like we're both going to hit bonus, which is exactly what I'm doing at work. Like I'm here to hit bonuses. I got, you know, a family and all that kind of stuff. So I think like that kind of naturally puts us all on the same page. And it's just like, all right, man, whatever you need, bro. I got you.
And what you just hit on is one of the things that I've talked about actually a lot recently, which is there's a lot that marketing can do to align with sales. There's one thing they can't, which is aligning like compensation incentives. So I actually think it'd be really interesting for marketers to go to leadership and say, hey, leadership, I actually want my bonus structure and compensation to be aligned with sales. Like,
so have you ever seen anybody do that?
I did it myself.
Did?
So I was bonused based on specifically number of meetings set as a marketer, then pipeline that like hit a certain stage. And then also I got a component of my bonus that was tied to revenue.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. And I've done that the same way. I thought what you meant is like,
exact same
compensation packages. So right now you've got, you know, if anybody's listening to this, they have their base and then they have like 20 or 25% on the bonus. And then they have three line items every quarter. It's like revenue, you know, pipeline coverage and meetings. And as long as they hit their target on those three, you know, they get that bonus. Well, sales isn't like that. Sales is based on, you know, the BDRs, it's how many meetings did you get? The AEs, it's like how much, you know, in bookings, and then you get a percentage of that. And I actually had a conversation with my CFO probably a month ago where I was telling him that I would be open. So we were talking about going just salary, like leaving off the bonus. And I said, actually, I would be open to taking less of a salary if I got bonused like a 1 or 2% off of the revenue booked.
Okay. I mean,
and
again, from my perspective, like the more for ABMers specifically, maybe not all marketers, but ABMers specifically, the more you can align your compensation with sales, the more likely they are to buy in because you've got skin in the game too.
Yeah.
And like,
That's a
cool it shifts the conversation. So
yeah, I've never presented it to them that way, but that's a slick.
Yeah. I mean, because from a sales perspective, and I will give context, I have started to shift my thinking a lot on this because I now run an organization. I create compensation structures for my own organization, but I'm also looking at, I serve as a fractional chief revenue officer for a couple of clients, and like I build their sales comp plans. So like, as I look at how people are compensated, compensation is just incentive structure to do the right behaviors. So like for marketers to have a component that is aligned with whatever the exact same measure is for sales, it may not be the entire bonus structure, but it does just say, hey, look, we're in this together, truly. So I think that's, I want more marketers to start doing that, but that's a separate conversation. Last question before we call it.
Let me ask you one question. Now, let me ask you one really quickly, just really quick.
Yeah.
Do you think that aligning bonuses to sales only works for a certain, you know, marketing position, like level, you know, like you need at the director level? Because we have big companies that just have like they have an ABM manager, or they just have a generalist who's got a bonus too. Would you attack that similarly? Like as a team, we hit the bonus when we hit meetings, book numbers, and revenue number. What do you think about that?
I think specifically if your title includes ABM, then as a general thought process, you should have direct alignment with sales. Now, if you work at a much larger company, like we've got some clients that are a couple billion dollars and they've got someone that like their whole job is social media manager. To align media manager on sales doesn't feel like a right thing because they're focused on a channel. But if your job is ABM, or if you're a certain level within the organization that is focused on not just a channel, but is primarily focused on the strategy of how do we actually generate pipeline, then I think pipeline generation that actually closes and having a component of bonus that is tied to tangibly close one revenue is a way that you can align all of your teams.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Sorry, I cut you off right there.
You're good. I appreciate somebody asking me questions back. It's always good to have more of a conversation. So last thing for you is, you know, somebody's thinking about getting started with ABM. Is there any other parting wisdom you'd like to give them?
Man, that's a thinker. What I would say is, so in a lot of cases, frankly, you might be told that you're going to do ABM.
Yep.
In some cases, you might have the idea based on how you sell that going account based, and then you might really be like leading the charge. And in that case, because that's, I feel like kind of a majority, I feel like more than a 50-50 split. Don't really start doing ABM until you are sure that you can be aligned from like a go-to-market perspective with sales. Like the worst thing that you can do is try and, you know, I'm air quoting go ABM, and then sales just continues to go about their business the same way that they've always gone about their business. And, you know, the truth about it is when you look at accounts as a focus, it's not just how we market is different, how we sell, how we multi-thread, how we go up, work our way up into the account changes as well. In a lot of cases, there's timing components, right? Like when we're running ABM, we're like in the first 30 days, second, third, that kind of thing. If you don't have a revenue leader that is like stamp of approval, we're going to run it, I've got your back, just don't even start.
Yep.
That's probably the advice I would give.
Yeah.
I don't think it's worth it.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. There's only two ways that I typically look at starting an ABM program. It's executive blessing on the front end, or the other option is done in secret with EDR. And then you build out a use case and then take that use case to leadership and say, hey, we did this. Like it's super low investment on that front.
I agree.
But like, we're going to do it super well. It's got to be done with an executive blessing.
Yeah. But like, okay, so let's take just what I was talking about earlier, like with the ways that we use BDRs. Like we pose ABM as an experiment. We have BDRs that are not full-time in the vertical, but we have the commitment from the BDR manager and upstream that they can spend time helping us like prove this out, make the calls. And, you know, so things like that, I just think, dude, it's so easy How many times have you seen, especially me, because I've worked a ton in paid media, we're going to go ABM, a budget gets blown, numbers aren't hit. 3 quarters later, we're not really doing ABM anymore, or we're not even calling it ABM anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of revert back. So don't be that person.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much for joining me today. If people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Man, yeah. So LinkedIn is cool. Tyler with an O. So T-Y-L-O-R Jones. Yeah, I'm pretty active. I don't know. I do feel like, Mason, this might kickstart maybe a little more activity than I've had recently. But I would say, in general, if you like anything that you heard or have more questions, I would just send me a LinkedIn message. Love it. That's the way to do it. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, again, Tyler, thank you so much for joining me today. You can find him on LinkedIn. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we will see you in the next one. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.